You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to You Can't Outrun the Fork. I am your host, Brett Bittner. You Can't Outrun the Fork examines healthy eating habits to break you out of the standard American diet and the problems that accompany it. We offer you a perspective on what it means to eat in a healthy manner from a variety of options and how we can fix our health by thinking about food differently. While I have an affinity for the ketogenic diet because it works for me, we will be examining a lot of other healthy eating options. Please be sure to rate and review us in iTunes, like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and subscribe using your favorite podcast catcher. You can always catch the latest shows at can'toutrunthefork.com. We are often taking your questions, comments, show ideas, and suggested guests via email at show@can'toutrunthefork.com. If you are new to the program, we do keep things short compared to other things on the network, usually only lasting about 45 minutes. If this particular episode isn't your cup of tea, I suggest trying some of the others in the feed. This show is for adults interested in avoiding the health issues that plague the standard American diet. However, I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on this podcast. The conversations within are not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, they are a reflection of the experience of the host and guests, unless otherwise noted. Enjoy!
Kids are starving in Japan, so eat it. Just eat it.
You know, Bittner's diabetes day is tomorrow, essentially.
Yes. And
within 1 year, you lost how much?
75 pounds.
75 pounds, and you
Bittner's D-Day.
Yeah.
It's actually T2D day is what we call it.
Why?
Type 2 diabetes
okay.
day. Yeah.
All right. And so, it's not something that we've really delved into because we've been stuck on policy, but I am keto curious.
All right.
And I've never been keto curious, and I know that this is not politics, but I do think that we probably have a large amount of fat asses in our audience that are curious, too, about how you did it, because you went from a fat ass to a shell of yourself. Frankly, like, all right, if you want to know what Bittner looks like, let me paint a picture for you. If he had a baseball hat on, he looks like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia.
Got it. Okay, right. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. He was really skinny in Philadelphia.
Right, exactly. And before that, he looked like a fat chipmunk. And so, right, storing up with nuts in his mouth before the winter comes. And so I do think it is. So I've got two people here who have lost a tremendous amount of weight. I've hit a wall, to be quite honest, over the last couple months, and it's tough to get back into that cycle. And so I want to ask you about keto.
Sure.
Because I wouldn't be curious if I hadn't seen how well you've done on it.
Yes.
And how quickly you lost weight.
Yeah.
And I am anti-carb for the most part. And I always feel better when I eat more fats than when I eat more carbs.
Right.
And so last December,
halfway there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last December, I was lying on what I call mega couch, which is the cushions of one couch and then the two from a former couch all over the floor here in the apartment, lying by a fire with my two cats. I ordered pizza every single night so I did not have to cook because I was too lazy to move, and I felt so miserable because I hadn't moved. I had gone to the doctor in that last November and said, "What's wrong with my leg? My sciatica. I've got sciatica. My nerves acting." He's like, "You're just not moving your legs, and so that's why they hurt. You're an animal and you need to move your body." And during that Christmas break, I watched a Joe Rogan podcast with Mark Sisson, and he talked about why it's important to lift weights and why it's important to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get older, you don't exercise your heart, you don't exercise your lungs, you don't exercise your organs, you get into a situation where you fall and break a hip, and then you develop pneumonia, and your lungs are too weak to cough up everything in your lungs, and so you die of pneumonia at 75 because you didn't spend a life of being active. And so that really motivated me because I was like, oh, wow, okay. And so about August, I stopped working out. I got way too busy. I've had a ton of stress. And now I'm kind of getting back on it. I'm on Blue Apron. I cannot recommend Blue Apron enough. It has been awesome. I love it. It's all the meals have been great except for one. If you want $30 off, use the code Bob and Tom at blueapron.com/Bob and Tom. It's been great, and I'm eating healthy, but I also still feel like a fat ass. I'm not exercising as much as I should, but I'm still exercising and lifting a lot, and I still have a lot of that mass I built. So I'm going to give you a few minutes, Brett Bittner, and, mm-hmm. and Brian, what's, are you a keto, are you a keto head too?
I wouldn't say I'm a keto head, but I've utilized keto. So once you get beyond just weight loss, you go into a lot of what's called building and bulking. And during my bulk or my, I'm sorry, bulk and lean, my apologies. So when I'm leaning out, what I try to do is really focus on a keto diet, because I mean, keto is the epitome of, leaning out, because you're forcing your body to utilize your existing fat as energy. So if you can imagine, for instance, right now, the current way your body works, you're using carbs for energy. So if you eat a piece of bread, your body breaks down the carbs to be sugar, which mm-hmm. then is then utilized as your energy for the day. Whatever is not utilized is then stored as fat. Mm-hmm. Now, where keto comes into play is that your body goes into a state of ketosis, which means your body has gotten to the point where it's no longer utilizing the carbs that you eat every day mm-hmm. for energy. And that means it has to find a new means to find energy. So what it does is it first will go to the fat. So if you have excess fat, your body will start to use your reserve fat to help, give you energy throughout the day. And the best way I explained it to my girlfriend, because she was a little skeptical on keto. I said, imagine you're driving a car and your car, you're at 50% gas in your car and you're getting down to like 25%. When you're on keto, it just feels like all of a sudden the gas tank goes back up to 50% after you've dropped some gas, because your body just starts to find more means of energy. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing a lean, I mean, I feel absolutely phenomenal. I have so much energy. I feel like I can run marathons. And when I bulk, I eat carbs, I feel like death, because right. my body's just not used to utilizing only one form of energy. And I'm sure, Brett can go into much greater detail what he's experienced for just the weight loss aspect. But in terms of bulking and cutting, it's a great tool to utilize to not only give your body the chance to burn off excess fat, but also just to experience it's a different way of living, because you're no longer thinking about like, oh, I'm hungry, I need to get food so I can carry on throughout the day. You just feel like you have this never-ending supply of energy.
Yep.
And it's intoxicating.
Yeah, so, all right, and that's the voice of Brian Nichols, and he's the host of the Around the Republic podcast. But Brett Bittner has a podcast called You Can't Outrun the Fork. And I'm remiss in promoting your podcast at the start of the show.
No, that's
okay. I'll make sure to put those in the podcast. But, Bittner has a We Are Libertarians podcast called You Can't Outrun the Fork. And you can get that how?
You can find it on iTunes. You can go to youcan'toutrunthefork.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, just like everything cool. else. And I want to thank Brian. I mean, he really did a great job of explaining kind of what keto does from a more scientific perspective than I even go into on the podcast.
Right.
I'm talking about my journey, what happened for me, and why 37 feels better than 27 and mm-hmm. even better than 22 did.
Right.
And so Brian's exactly right. You do feel terrific. I did not realize how terrible it felt eating carbs all the time, because that was just what I was used to.
Right.
I had a terrible diet. I was drinking sweet tea. Everybody in the live stream tonight was joking, oh, is that sweet tea that you have in your... No, it's not. I might have some tomorrow. It's on my list of things that are for all the terrible things that I shouldn't eat and drink. but you know, I drank sweet tea. I had no problem driving by the Krispy Kreme, seeing the hot donut sign on, and stopping in for a dozen, eating six while they were still hot, and saving six to microwave to be hot the next day.
Your Chick-fil-A diet was out of this world.
Oh, I went to Chick-fil-A every single day.
Yeah. What were you eating?
When you look at it compared to the rest of what I was eating, it wasn't that bad. Generally speaking, it was a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of breading on the chicken. And it was nuggets and it was sweet tea, but it was two sweet teas that were this big.
Right.
That's 500 calories of pure sugar.
Right. So
I was saying, at least 80 grams of sugar at least.
Oh, at least.
Easily. Yeah. And when I was 330 and I used my
at
fitness,
least, yeah.
I'm down to 275 and my highest was 330. And I started using my fitness pal to get down, and I was eating 5,000 calories a day because it's so easy to do. You go to McDonald's for breakfast, you get a hash brown mm-hmm. and an egg McMuffin, you go to a rich lunch, you know, yep. where we used to work.
Oh, yeah.
Walk across the street, you waddle yourself over to the Brew Burger, you mm-hmm. have a 1,200 calorie lunch with a Coke.
Easily.
You're sitting there, you get a candy bar that you eat, that's another 500
yeah.
calories in Reese's Cups. And then, you know, you go to BW3's or
for
Wendy's and then you have another 1,500 calories, and then you have maybe a piece of candy before bed, and you've had three Cokes that
day.
Don't
forget about ice cream, and don't forget about this and that and the other, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so easy to eat 5,000 calories, and you just don't realize it, and MyFitnessPal really helped me, and I probably should get back to that, but I want you, Brett Bittner, to give me your elevator pitch on keto diet.
Okay, so here's what it is. I feel better. It wasn't about losing weight for me. That was an awesome side effect. And I fall asleep when my head hits the pillow.
Right.
I have enough energy to run throughout the entire day.
Right.
Way more than I had when I was drinking caffeine through the sweet tea and the soda. And we're talking probably 2 liters of sweet tea and a liter of soda every day.
Jeez.
And that's a lot of caffeine, too. So, I mean, yeah. that's really pump. Okay, so since I started almost a year ago, mm-hmm. blood sugar's back to normal. Cholesterol is no longer a concern for my doctor. In fact, it's rather low. It's in the ideal range for somebody my age. My blood pressure, which was hypertensive, is now normal.
Mm-hmm.
And my resting heart rate, which was almost 100, is now in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
No shit, really?
Yes. And that's eating, well, you remember the bacon
Holy
challenge of
shit,
March,
man.
Where it was bacon every single meal.
Right.
I had to have bacon in every single meal,
right.
and I only missed two in March of 2017. So it's not that I'm eating, you know, I didn't all of a sudden become a vegan.
Right.
I am eating bacon. I am eating beef. I'm eating a ton of meat, a ton of cheese, a ton of eggs. Things that are awesome.
Right.
Things that are easy for me to prepare. I do what's called lazy keto. I'm not sitting down and you know, doing meal prep for a whole week. You know, I did that for the first couple of weeks to figure out what I could and couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Once I figured out what I could and couldn't eat, the meals that I could prepare, that I could have, it actually got to the point where after about around the beginning of 2017, I had to force myself to eat to take my meds.
Hmm.
I had to remember, hey, you have to eat because you have to take these meds in order to get your blood sugar back under control, like the doctor told you, or else you're going to die.
Because you just mm-hmm. didn't have hunger.
Right. I was not hungry. I'm still not hungry.
Right.
The first thing I ate today was when I came up, right before I came over here.
Right. So when you went to Chick-fil-A tonight, what did you have instead?
Okay, so I didn't have my normal Chick-fil-A. I just had nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have the grilled nuggets because I was lazy.
Bittner.
Yeah.
Bittner, are you doing intermittent fasting as well?
That came naturally around the first of the year. When it was tough for me to
really
remember wow. to eat. Because I wasn't hungry, I had basically fallen into a 16-8 intermittent fasting.
Explain that.
So 16-8 is where you eat in an 8-hour period of the day, but you do not eat in 16 hours of the
right.
day. And generally, all that is skipping breakfast.
Right.
Yep. You have lunch have lunch around noon, and you have dinner before 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eat nothing else the rest of the day. which is not that hard because think about it, about 8 of those hours, you're probably asleep.
Sure.
So it's just the end of the night after your dinner and the beginning of your day before you go to lunch.
Right.
And I fell into that naturally. I had to force myself to eat lunch every day so that I could take the meds because they were spread out where I had to take meds twice a day. Mm-hmm.
So I think people think about it. And in the summertime, I mean, I really only grill out. I mean, yeah. I literally, because I'm kind of a lazy cook, and that's perfect. Where like the Blue Apron stuff is hard for me to do. And I'm stacked up with like 9 meals in there just because I just haven't cooked. So I get lazy. And so the summertime is great because I go out, I fire up the old electric grill. It warms up in 10 minutes. You throw the meat on there. You throw the asparagus on there.
Perfect.
Or I like sweet potatoes as well. And then you eat your dinner and it's done within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace after literally, I use my electric grill, the Charbroil Patio Bistro or whatever it is. It's great. I love it. But after 2 years of daily use between April and October, it died this year.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
But it's okay.
Maybe you can get a real grill.
The element broke because I cleaned it. I cleaned it too hard. I dropped the grate on it, and okay. I broke the element. So, but love the electric grill, and I don't care. None of you have tasted my meat when I prepared on the grill, except for...
I have.
You have? Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I came over.
Yeah, it's very good, isn't it?
It's very good.
My meat's well marinated. And so... I love to grill meat, but like, and don't worry, chat room, because in Dear Leader's Court, they're mocking my electric grill.
As well they should.
Version 3.0 is coming next April.
All right.
I'm going to get another one. I spent $120 on a grill that I use literally every day.
Yeah.
For most of the months of the year, and that's all the fuel I had to buy. Like, sure. It saves you so much money, and it tastes just the same. It's easy. It heats up. It's great. It's good. Anyways, am I just going to eat meat the whole time?
No, not necessarily. That's just what's easy for me. There are even vegan ketoers. Okay. I can't do that because so much of the fat comes from the nuts, and I'm allergic to something.
Let me tell you, in that realm. If you're a vegan, gluten-free ketoer...
Man.
Kill yourself, honestly, right?
Well, no. I mean, there's actually an admin.
That was not a question. That was a declarative statement. Kill yourself. Do us all a favor and die. I'm just kidding. But anyways, so...
But, like, there are so many tricks
that
you can do.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, one thing I will do is every morning when I have my coffee in the morning, I will take 2 tablespoons of coconut oil.
Yep.
And I'll plop that in my coffee.
Yep.
And the coffee, you know, it'll melt it down. And you'll have, it's bulletproof coffee. And it is phenomenal. I mean, it's weird. I'm allergic to coconut, the like actual nut.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with coconut butter and oil, which is weird. But you put the coconut oil into the coffee.
Because it's probably
it gives you a little sweetener.
Yeah, it's probably the proteins that you're allergic to.
Caffeine fix.
Yeah.
But.
I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, and you get like...
That's okay. You don't need to.
I forget how many grams it is. Like 20 grams of fat or something like that.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
So yeah, you're basically what you're doing is you're taking a look at the food that you're eating, and your goal is to have around 70% of your calories come from fat.
Okay.
About 25% of your calories to come from protein, and about 5% to come from carbs. And the carbs that you're getting, I'm not saying that you should eat like half of a Snickers to get your carbs. It should be the asparagus. It should be the broccoli. It should, be the green vegetables that aren't root vegetables, not potatoes, not onions, not carrots, but your broccolis, your cauliflowers.
Good carbs.
Not bad, but they're good carbs. They're vegetable carbs. That's what you're getting outside of the meat that you're going to be eating.
To me, like the macros of 70, 25, and 5, like that's crazy to me. But I mean,
it feels that way at first.
Yeah.
But once you see the difference in how easy it is to maintain that and how good you feel,
right?
You don't want to go back. And so, you know, yes, I will have a day like tomorrow.
That's one thing I noticed with my life. It made my life so much easier because if you can plan throughout the day, like, you know what, I'm going to have, you know, a chicken breast for lunch with some blue cheese dressing and a very small side of some spinach greens.
Yep.
Like, if you can plan that ahead of time and make it taste good. I mean, that's one thing that if you're not a good cook, I strongly recommend going and looking at Food Network or going to allcooks.com, just like going through,
yep,
finding these abilities to cook better and make your food taste good. And you're not looking at like, oh, I'm eating chicken every single day. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm eating chicken that I've seasoned. It tastes amazing.
Right.
Right.
And then I know that it's good for me instead of just like depending on Burger King to give you a grilled chicken, air quotes, that has so many preservatives, so many extra things you don't know about that's so bad for you. Like, you can make your own stuff, make sure it tastes good, and then find out it's good for you because you're confident it's good for you.
Yeah, I will say the best cookbooks that I've ever read, and I've read a lot of cookbooks because I'm a nerd like that. With the Well-Fed series are really good, and that's all primal. That's all keto or paleo. And then the America's Test Kitchen, everything they do is great. Their paleo cookbook was amazing. I mean, is keto the same thing as paleo?
No, it's a little... There are a lot of similarities, and it's not as much of a focus on... Like, for paleo, it's more about, okay, well, these are the things that our ancestors kind of ate.
Right.
For keto, it's more about focusing on the high fat and the low carb.
It's about the macros.
It's about the macros, and you can figure out your macros at the beginning. You know what you're going to eat, and again, you're going to fall into IF. Almost every keto-er I know has fallen into IF very quickly.
What does that mean?
Intermittent fasting. It was the thing that we talked about, the 16-8 or 24, where it's 20 hours a day where you don't eat, 4 hours where you do. And there are actually people who go days without eating.
Hmm.
And I totally could. But the things that I take, you know, the medicine that I take, I try to make sure I eat at least once a day.
Right.
But again, that's pretty tough.
Hey, Bittner.
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy who... He's on YouTube and he only eats at like it's a 24-20-4 eating cycle for intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Where you only eat between the hours of 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. It's nuts.
Oh, that's yeah. See, I'm not as, again, I'm doing it lazy because I'm kind of lazy when it comes to this.
Right.
Because I'm trying to break out of what was a terrible diet.
Right.
Lots of sugar, lots of carbs, just lots of food, lots of terrible things. To have my body burn cleaner, burn the ketones, burn the fat, and run on that rather than running on the sugar that made me feel like crap.
I would never recommend anybody to eat only 4 hours a day between the hours of 12 a.m. and 4 a.m.
I heard this guy on YouTube
be like, that's all he would eat.
Yeah, though.
It's insane. But
you can really train your body to do anything.
Let me stop you right there, Brian. That's stupid. I have found that when I lose weight, I lose weight when it's effortless.
Yeah.
And I lose weight when it's easy. When I'm thinking about stuff, then it's hard.
See, this was easy and effortless for me.
Exactly right. So if you're doing a diet that feels like work, then you're not going to last. You're not going to stick on it.
Yeah.
And kind of what I've always maintained, and I've fallen off the wagon lately, and I've been eating out too much, and I've been, I had a can of SpaghettiOs for dinner yesterday because I had it, and it was soft, and I had dental surgery yesterday. And I felt terrible after it. All that sodium and processed nonsense. It's gross. But what I try to stick to is that if it's been alive in the last 30 days, I'll eat it. I mean, that goes for dating too, Brian. You want to stick to just kind of living food. The food that is, and I stick to organic. I'm generally an organic person because I want it. Some of it, I'm sure, is BS, but I'd rather just pay the extra 30 cents and not take the risk.
Sure.
And that's where Blue Apron's been great for me in that it's all fresh, good food and recipes that I've never tried before.
#plug.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, while we're on that, talking about the Blue Aprons and the HelloFresh and all that, there's actually a keto-friendly one called Keto Fridge.
Interesting. Okay.
And now, I haven't tried it.
Okay.
Because I don't cook a lot at home I cook every night now, but it used to be that I didn't cook at home at all.
Right.
And it was just about eating out and just figuring out what I could and couldn't have.
Yeah, I feel terrible right now, and I can tell you it's because I'm eating terrible and I'm not exercising. And for me, it's the same exactly what you said. I always had trouble sleeping. I would lay there for 3 hours before my brain would finally shut off.
Yeah.
And when I'm in a period where I'm going to the gym and lifting weights and exercising and pushing myself in the gym 3 times a week at least, every single night I just lay my head and I just fall right asleep.
Yep.
And same with diet. And diet and exercise are just so important to your mental acuity, your health, your overall emotional well-being, your relationships. Like, I'm tired and sluggish, and like this suffers because I'm just too lazy to eat well and prep, and just because I better take a nap before we do the show, I'm gonna get through it. I mean, go ahead, Brian.
And Brett, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, when you start this lifestyle of like just trying to not only better your health but better yourself, you just your body naturally. It thanks you because you've been, I'm not saying you personally, Chris, but like just in general, if you are not taking care of yourself, your body knows it and it can feel it. So yeah. If you're able to start going ahead and like, you know, going to the gym, you're burning off fat. So your body's lighter. All of a sudden your joints are like, hey, I can walk without having some pain.
Yeah.
Or you're burning calories and you go to bed and you're like, wow, you know what? I burned some energy today. And I'm physically tired because I haven't eaten an excess amount of calories, right? But I'm still trying to burn it off. I mean, your body, and this is what, and Brett, you can testify this as well. Like, your body goes down the line and it will thank you every step of the way, saying, you know what? This is a healthier way for not only myself, but for my personal relationships with those in my life,
mm-hmm.
but also your physical relationships, because you're able to do so much more in terms of going out, running a 5K or you right. know, having those fun times with your friends, doing whatever it may be. But you have the ability to do that now. So it's a mental and physical benefit, and I can't recommend getting healthy more than enough. And Brett, I'm sure you can testify that as well. And Chris, I mean, you've made a heck of a change too. I mean, I look at your pictures from not only like 6 months ago, and like you've lost a shit ton of weight too.
Oh yeah, no, If I don't go to the gym every 3 days, I'm miserable. Like, I've got to go, and I went in to my personal training session. I go to a personal trainer once a week. That's helped keep me accountable. And you look at it and you go, okay, well, that's $200 a month, and that's a lot of money, and that's a stretch. But at the same time, it really has been worth it to have someone teach me how to do this stuff. You know, I was squatting wrong, and I was going to blow my knees out within a year and a half if I had gotten heavier and heavier, like in terms of lifting weights. I didn't realize I had a torn supraspinatus, and so he's been able to help me work through that I tore 15 years ago. And so that's been great to have that program. I'd recommend Bigger, Leaner, Stronger by Mike Matthews, which is really good. I love Legion Athletics. That's what I use, and sometimes Muscle Feast as well. Both highly rated, tasty stuff, good stuff. And then Mark Ripito is actually a libertarian. He has a program called Starting Strength. But I cannot recommend lifting weights enough. I hate cardio. I get bored with it. Lifting weights really, it trains your mind in a way and pushes you in ways that you know, I hadn't done since I was in high school, and it was great. And Brett, you could probably attest to this. The discipline that you have to use to do this, and the discipline that I have had to use in the gym, in lifting, excuse me, that discipline translates to many other areas of your life.
It does. So I wanted to hit on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. The mental and emotional clarity that I have seen in the change in the way that I eat has been phenomenal. It's been absolutely amazing to see how much better I feel, how much more clearly I think, and how much more in touch with how I'm feeling,
like right.
my actual emotional well-being. That has improved vastly.
It makes you more libertarian.
It actually kind of does. So the other thing is, You've talked about how exercise makes you feel good. The beauty of what keto has done for me is I hate working out.
Right.
I hate doing active stuff. I was not interested in hiking or rock climbing or walking or any of that.
Right.
Not interested. But I feel so much better my body is ready to take that on.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm like, okay, you know what? Now, not only because I feel better, but also because I don't have that block of, you know, this really big dude probably should not be going to whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
You know, he might sink the boat. Well,
right.
I can tell you that when I went whitewater rafting as a 250-plus pound guy versus going whitewater rafting at 175, I had so much more fun at 175, and I was able to enjoy it so much more than I did when I was a 250-plus guy. I've actually wanted to, you know, walk instead of, you know, take an Uber.
Right.
When I'm downtown.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for something, you know, if I'm looking for some place to eat or something to go do or whatever. So I'm actually seeking out the physical activity rather than it being what pushes me or me having to commit to that. I'm seeking it out because it's something that I want to do and I have the energy to do that.
Right.
No. There's nothing holding me back. I'm doing it. I choose not to lift weights.
No. I'm saying instead of letting your body hold yourself back, you know what I mean? Like at this point, you're at a point in your life where your body is not something that holds you back from enjoying the way you want to enjoy life.
That's exactly right. And so the other thing, you talked about your joints, and I know Brian talked about his as well. When you reduce the carbs, you're reducing the inflammation in your joints.
Huge.
And so I can't tell, like, my knees felt terrible. My ankles, my back, basically everything that is involved in standing, all of the joints that are involved in standing and walking felt terrible.
Yeah.
Now I feel, I continue to say it, and it's totally true, 37 feels better than 22 did.
Yeah. Brian, when you're lifting, I mean, carbs are an essential part of any kind of healthy lifting regimen and diet. I mean, so are you full? Are you like hardcore keto? Are you like a 5% carbs when you're lifting?
No, so I kind of alluded to this a little bit early in the podcast. So I'm in a cycle where I do what's called bulk and cut, and so when I'm bulking, I will eat more carbs, and I'll probably get up to like at the very most 20 grams of carbs a day.
Sure.
Just because you need that more energy, and the reality of building muscle is that you need to have an excess of calories in order for your muscles to grow. So I will cut my cardio by about like probably 15, 20 minutes a day. So I'm only doing like 15 minutes a day or at the very least. And then I'm doing about an hour to an hour and a half of weights during bulk. Now I'm cutting, I go straight to a keto diet. So like Brett had said, the 5% of your intake being only carbs, the rest being the combination of fats and proteins. That's going to be my intake for the day.
And you know, there are actually people who lift. There are actually people who lift, Brian. There are actually people who lift that they are keto. In fact, you're starting to see it with some of the Ironmen and the ultramarathoners. You're starting to see it a bit in the SEALs and some of the, you know, more elite and special forces, where they're doing it because what they're able to do is, because of the ease with which you can fast, they can go for days without eating but not feel an energy depletion.
Lifter Mark Bell has the Power Cast. Mark Bell has the Power Cast. Triple H, the wrestler, is keto. Joe DeFranco has a podcast. He's keto.
Yeah.
These guys are keto too, and they lift, and so it doesn't seem to be a problem for them. In fact, Mark Bell, which is one of the subjects of a great documentary called Bigger, Faster, Stronger, about steroids and then prescription thugs. He looks
great
better.
Yeah,
better, looks better than he ever has before. So I want to ask, what does your typical meal look like, Brett?
So for dinner last night, I cooked 5 eggs, scrambled them, had mild cheddar cheese, and I had 7 strips of bacon. That was my dinner yesterday.
Okay.
Let's see, 2 weeks ago I cooked pizza for Morgan and her family. She and I cooked pizza together for her family.
Right.
We had a keto crust, we had keto pizza, and it was delicious.
What the hell's a keto crust?
Best.
So the keto crust is eggs, Parmesan cheese, and Italian seasoning. You mix it all together, make it just like you would a regular pizza crust, and then you put it in the oven, and then you put your toppings on later. Mm. So you get a really low-carb tomato sauce, marinara sauce, or tomato paste, and then put cheese on top, the toppings you want.
The key is the crust first.
The key is the crust first, yes. And it's about it's a 15-minute deal to get the crust.
Actually,
that's been about a month. 2 weeks ago, we did keto fried chicken.
So can you like cheat, like if you do keto every day, but then like you go, like tomorrow I'm going out, let's say we're going out to my favorite family pizza place, can I cheat and have the pizza?
Okay, so yes and no. The no part is it's going to knock you out of ketosis. You're going to have to get back into it. You're going to have to go through some of the pains that getting in. And we talked about this in episode one, where you're going to have what's called the keto flu. You're going to have the cramping in your legs. You're going to have, you know, some of the terrible feeling that you do after you eat carbs.
Okay. Right.
So you're going to have one, you're going to feel terrible for having eaten the carbs, in the same way that you're doing now. Two, you're going to have the path back into ketosis. Now I'm a lazy ketoer. I don't always stick strictly to macros. And so as I've gone and I've had, you know, a cheat here or cheat there, it isn't really a cheat for me. It's about, I try to make it celebratory.
Right.
And I try to make it rare. And this is something I learned from Penn Jillette, in his book Presto, where he talked about his weight loss journey when he lost over 100 pounds by becoming vegan and really drastically changing the way that he eats. You celebrate things in a rare and appropriate way.
Right.
Now, as I've gotten closer and closer to having my blood sugar under control and normal for a non-diabetic, I have been able to cheat or celebrate it more, or it's less rare and less appropriate because it's not affecting the blood sugar.
Right.
Because I'm not doing it all the time. It's, you know, oh, well, I mean, we're having, you know, we're having La Rosa's pizza for the first time.
Right.
During the Georgia game. You know, that was something that happened a couple weeks ago. And okay, yeah, sure. I didn't feel terrible after. But, you know, I could tell that I'd been knocked out of ketosis, you know, and it took a couple of days to get back in, and then I felt back to normal. And now, I felt the fantastic feelings that I do when my body is burning fat and running on ketones.
Now, you lost me when you said ketone flu. What?
It's keto flu. So it's something that happens in the first few days of
the keto flu.
Yeah. So it's essentially your body's dehydrated because you are probably don't have enough salt.
Right.
You're essentially your body is fighting back against you getting rid of the sugar that it runs on.
Right.
And so it's in panic mode and it's saying, hey, this sucks. I'm going to make you feel terrible.
Right.
Because I don't like this because I was doing this just fine, burning sugar.
Right. Prehistorically, we love carbs. We love sugar. We love fruits. We love that stuff because it's easy storable calories.
Right.
And so it's easier for us to survive, whereas protein is much harder to break down. And so that's why your body, it loves that. It loves the cheap energy.
It was easy energy.
Cheap energy.
It was cheap and easy. It was right there. And when you're telling your body, hey, you're not going to have that anymore. You're going to have to figure out another way to power us.
Right.
It's your body's rejection of that idea.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as bad for me, I think, because I was also onboarding my meds, which made me feel absolutely terrible, which I think we've talked about on an episode of We Are Libertarians. I was breaking my addiction to caffeine at the same time. So I had a pretty terrible November when it came to how that. And so I couldn't isolate things to keto flu because I had all of those things happening at once.
Right.
So my keto flu experience is different from others. But I can tell when I've gone off the reservation. When I was on the cruise at the beginning of October, I didn't stick strictly keto.
Right.
I had key lime pie in Key West. I'm not going to give that, you know. I had dessert, I think most nights on the cruise. I made sure that I, you know, I had a fruity drink in my hand when I was sitting out by the pool and I was getting my tan on and things like that. I wasn't going to deprive myself, but I wasn't necessarily going absolutely crazy, like tomorrow's going to be, where I have a list of things that I absolutely have to have.
Right.
I have to have pizza. I have to have beer. I have to have pineapple.
Are you afraid? I have to have those things. So, like, I did the Atkins diet in college, and I did really well for a month. I dropped, like, 30 pounds in a month.
And because the first month of Atkins, the induction phase of Atkins is essentially what keto is the whole time.
Right. And so you lose just all that water, all that inflammation. Your cells let go of all that water that it was holding on to. Your body's not in panic mode because it feels like it's under attack because of the carbs and the wheat and the processed food and all that. And so it was, but then it was my birthday. So I went and celebrated on my birthday at Penn Station and had a delicious sub and fell right off the wagon. Okay. I gained all that weight back. Like, are you worried about tomorrow? Like, that you go and you have all these things and then all of a sudden just something clicks in your brain. And you're just like,
sugar.
Well, okay. So the reason that I'm not worried about that is because I'm going to remember what happened on my birthday in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I had a third of a slice of cheesecake in celebration of it being my birthday.
Right.
When I was out doing the, when I was judging the pageant out in Terre Haute.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on my way back and I was about an hour and a half removed from having eaten. And I just felt like absolute crap.
Right.
And I just felt so terrible. And that happens pretty much every time I go way off.
Mm-hmm.
I will feel absolutely awful. The thing for me is if I were to moderate myself back to the way I used to eat, I could see me falling off there, but because I know that for something like tomorrow, I'm going to enjoy in the moment.
Right.
But I know that I'm going to pay for it after.
Right.
I know that I'm going to feel terrible, and I know that I'm basically going to have a sugar hangover on Saturday.
Yeah.
I know that, but I'm preparing for it, and I know that come Saturday, it's going to be back to normal. It's going to be back to my new normal, and because of the way that I see it for me, my blood sugar, again, is normal for a non-diabetic.
Right.
That's something that my dad, who's 18 months ahead of me on a type 2 diabetes journey, hasn't gotten to yet.
Right.
Because he didn't adopt the way of eating. He's doing what the doctor told him, which is change the way you eat a little bit, focus on, you know, carb choices, take your medicine, and those kinds of things. And that's great, but it's treatment, and it's treatment for life.
Yeah, and I will say, like, you're a much more pleasant person than you were. I mean, the Never Bittner stuff started in April of 2016.
Yeah.
Because you were mostly intolerable.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not to be a dick to you. It's just you were, I think you were just so, like, the diabetes and your blood sugar had you just so wrecked in every area of your life that you were just, like.
And here's the sad part. It was, like, based on the issues that I've had with my blood vessels in my eyes and in other places, the damage that has taken place, we think it could be as long as 4 years that my sugar's out of control.
Hmm.
So that means going back to 2012.
Right.
So that means a lot of people that I encountered from 2012 to 2016, they're probably pretty Never Bittner.
Yeah.
And I can think of specific instances looking back where I'm like, wow, was that really me? And a lot of it had to do with how I didn't realize that I was feeling terrible and that I was taking it out on other people.
Right.
Now, looking back, I see that.
Yeah.
And I see, wow, that's not the person that I believe I am. And so I see myself differently now than I did a year ago, for sure.
Yeah, and so it is. It's a massive change, and real proud of you, and I'm happy for you, and hopefully, you know, people will get some inspiration from your story. It's certainly doable. I mean, I have made I made a 125, not a 180 in my health this year, and it's been great, I still have, but for me, it's always like you've just gone full bore, and you haven't, maybe you've had steps back, but like for me, it's always two steps forward, one step back, and everything I do, it takes me a long time to get things, and then I kind of like go, oh, okay, and you know, I have to have those moments where, you know, they're fewer and far between, but where I have those moments like the last couple months where I'm just like, oh, I feel horrible because I'm not working out enough and I'm eating crap.
Yeah.
Okay, time to stop going to Stacked Pickle and to get back on the leafy green. So I know you got to go, so we're going to start wrapping up. I'm going to let Brett do his final thoughts. Thank you so much for spreading the gospel of keto.
I try my best.
And if people want to listen, You Can't Outrun Your Fork is Brett's podcast. I really didn't intend to belch on the microphone, but that just was like, Jesus. That was like the Zapruder film. It was just right out of nowhere. You can't outrun the fork. You can send Brett questions. You can add him there, and I'm sure he'd love to have a conversation with you if you are keto curious. Is there one book out there or a podcast other than yours or a resource or something?
There are actually tons of resources out there.
But what's the one that meant the most to you? Like, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger for me was the one that really got me into lifting. Yeah.
So the thing that is probably the best resource for me is dietdoctor.com.
Okay.
He's a Scandinavian doctor where this is how they treat diabetes in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Nothing but meatballs.
Not exactly. More fish and different fats. But essentially, he's got a nice two-week challenge to just ease you into it, to get you started. There are tons of resources on there. They just started a video series for cooking different items. They've got a lot of fantastic things with regard to that. And then Dr. Jason Fung is the one who helped me focus on the intermittent fasting aspect mm-hmm. of things. And he's doing a lot of stuff with the Diet Doctor now, too. So the two of them together have really done a lot, and I share a lot of their content on our Facebook page. I try a lot of the recipes and share that. That's where I got the keto pizza. It's where I did keto fried chicken. I don't remember what keto thing we're cooking this weekend when I'm in Cincinnati, but I think it's the soup, the broccoli, cheese, and cauliflower soup that looked awesome that they were promoting earlier this week, and I think that's what Morgan and I are going to make this Sunday. That seems to be the day that we kind of do that stuff. So those are things for me that were very helpful, and I try to share that kind of stuff on the Facebook page, on Instagram. It's the things that I talk about on the show, and it's can'toutrunthefork.com. I definitely suggest that you like us on Facebook at You Can't Outrun the Fork. Instagram is the same. We're also on Twitter, but it's much shorter. It's Can't Outrun Fork because you know, I only have so many letters. And if you have questions or an idea for a guest or just basically want to be heard or bounce something off of us, send those to show@can'toutrunthefork.com.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at wearelibertarians.com.